Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may remember a few years back when we did a whole church campaign on The Story by Randy Frazee. It was a small group study, but it also was our themes for each week and in worship. So we went through the Bible from the beginning of the Old Testament all the way through to the end of the New Testament. Some call that a narrative lectionary because it tells the full story, the whole story. Well, as you know, the Old Testament is longer than the New Testament. And I think some of us got tired of the Old Testament after a little while. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we were in the Old Testament from the end of September to the beginning of March. Oh, well, that's kind of how I feel when we look at how we broke up this sermon series, this preaching series on the Lord's Prayer. We're in week 2 of 4, and we are only on the 7th word. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. So Pastor Sue talked about Father. I talk about hallowed this weekend. However, I think how Dr. Maida Stamper, who developed this preaching series, how she set up that theme, I think it is important. And as it says in the introduction to this prayer, it is patterned from the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So this prayer begins by grounding us in God's person and God's work in the world and in our lives. And once we are grounded in who God is and what God does, we then can go on to know what it means to be in relationship with God and our neighbors. So who is God? Who are we praying to? Last week you heard from Pastor Sue that God, our Father, is the one who listens to our prayers and responds. God, our Creator, can love beyond what we can imagine. And through God, our Father, we become members of this holy family, brothers and sisters with the same spirit, same love. And so today, we hear Jesus teach us that God, that this God, our Father, that God's name is hallowed, which, as you heard in the children's sermon, we don't use that word very often, except we are in the Halloween capital of the world, right? So we know that that is a hallowed day, right? But hallowed, holy. It's Halloween, All Hallows Eve, the night before All Saints Day, right? A most holy day honoring our most holy saints. And so another word for hallowed is sanctified, holy. This holy place, this holy God, our Father in heaven, holy is God's name. So the thrust of the word holy is to treat something as different from ordinary things, of a different quality or essence. At times we use this word holy in a pious sense. We speak of things like the Holy Bible, the Holy Grail, Holy Communion. We use holy with a religious connotation, but what we mean is that something is sacredly different. That is why we think of God as the Holy One. God is supremely different. So to illustrate, all you need to do is recall the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Is there anything particularly pious about one day a week as opposed to the others? No. But the commandment is to keep one day a week different from the rest by making the Sabbath different. It is moved up a notch from the sphere of just the ordinary. So a certain reverence is attached to it. So what I wonder is, why does Jesus teach us to say that God's name is holy? We aren't making God holy. In and of itself, God's name is already holy, and our using God's name does not make it more holy. Jesus reminds us that when we pray to our Father who hears and responds, we are also praying to the one who gives us his name through baptism. As Luther says, So we are called children of God and enjoy the sacraments through which God so incorporates us with himself that all that is God's must serve for our use. We recognize God as holy, and yet we also recognize that this holy God wants us to approach with joy and love like a loving father. We are embraced by the Holy Spirit and marinated in God's holiness. In baptism, we are named and claimed. We have the sign, we have the sigil of our family placed on our foreheads. As Mary said in her song, when she knows she's about to give birth to God, "For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." And because God is holy, she is blessed and goes on to say that all the great things that God has done and will continue to do for us. Dr. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, says this: left to ourselves, we tend immediately to reduce God to manageable terms. We want to get God where we can use him, or at least where we know that we can control God and take him out when we need him, right? We want a God we can in some measure control. When Jesus teaches his disciples this petition, he is letting them know that God, while known as a father, is much, much more. More than what we would regard as like this cosmic bellhop. Sometimes we do that with God, right? One who is only there to maybe welcome or guide or give service or lug around our baggage. So how does this divine holiness become a reality in our lives? How can we understand God as holy and therefore we are holy? Well, the first step is understanding that God's holiness invites us into a deeper relationship with God. It challenges us to reflect God's purity and love in our interactions and our decisions. It's not us controlling what God should do, but we reflect in our lives what God is already doing. Only a God that cannot be molded and shaped by human beings can enter the human story, mold, and transform it. It's God's holiness. We don't define what that is. God does. It's kind of like superheroes. Hang with me for a second. During the pandemic, our family binge-watched a lot of Marvel movies. We like to do it in the chronological order. My brain still struggles with the timelines and the multiverses and all such things, but I do like the characters, and we get to know the origin of these characters. We probably all know, then, the character, the story of Peter Parker. He's a guy living with his aunt and uncle in New York City. He's a normal, shy kid just trying to make his way through the world. Then he gets bitten by a radioactive spider and is transformed from an ordinary teenager into a superhero known as Spider-Man. But what made Peter's story truly remarkable was that his powers were not of his own doing. He didn't make his own powers. They were a result of something outside of his control. So in some ways, Peter Parker's transformation mirrors God's holiness in our lives. Just as Peter's powers came from an external source, our ability to live holy lives doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Another Peter, the disciple Peter, writes in his letter, "Be holy because I am holy." This isn't a command to muster up holiness on your own. It's an invitation to receive holiness as gift from God. The way a spider bite changed Peter Parker's life, our empowerment from the holy God of all creation invites us to partner with God to bring hope and healing into this world. As Maida Stamper said in her commentary on this petition, God makes us holy with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive that gift, we find in ourselves the beginning of the answer of this petition, the beauty of holiness at work in our lives in a way that makes God feel at home. Did you get that? So often we think of it the other way around, that when we are in God's house, we feel at home. When we are in the presence of others who love and are filled with God's holy, we are at home. But what she is saying is that the answer to this petition, the beauty of this holiness at work, means that God then feels at home in us. Embracing the gift of the Spirit in our lives hallows God's name, drawing attention for us and those around us to the fullness of God's holiness present in all creation. So as it says in 1 Peter, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are holy. Don't forget that. And don't think that it's probably not me or it's no big deal, because you are a big deal. So let us daily make our hearts the dwelling place of God's most holy Spirit, because God is holy, and so are you. Amen.